thank you for joining us this Christmas season on the Mormon Channel as we present programs to inspire, instruct, and illustrate the spirit of Christmas. This is Stories from First Presidency Christmas Devotionals, Gift Package 17. The following stories were given by members of the First Presidency during various churchwide broadcasts of their annual Christmas devotional. Each has a message that can enrich our lives and lift our spirit during this special season. We begin with a story told by President Gordon B. Hinckley at the 1989 Christmas devotional about a woman who experienced miracles that testified God is involved in the details of our lives.
This is a season of rejoicing. It is a season of peace. It is a season of love that is felt anew across much of this weary world. It is a season when we like to hear of kind deeds and are motivated to perform them. Let me tell you of a touching story I read the other evening. It was written by Taylor Caldwell of events in her life some 70 years ago. She then had been recently divorced, was a young woman in her 20s without a job, and had a little daughter 6 years of age. In the great city in which she then lived, she went day after day seeking employment. One wet, cold morning, she rode the tram on her daily routine. When she took her seat, she noted a silk umbrella whose silver handle was inlaid with gold and other precious things. Never in her life had she seen anything so beautiful. She examined it carefully and found a name engraved in the handle. She took the umbrella with her when she left the tram and used it to cover her head against the cold storm. Finding a telephone book, she looked up the name and discovered it was listed. She called and a woman answered. The owner, a school teacher, said her umbrella had been stolen more than a year earlier. Miss Caldwell told her she would come directly to her house and bring it to her. The recipient bubbled over with gratitude at the return of the prized and beautiful thing which had been given her by her parents years earlier. Though desperately in need of money, Miss Caldwell declined a proffered reward. The two talked together, and in the conversation, Miss Caldwell dropped her address. They parted, and that was the end of that. During the next 6 months, she worked sporadically, here and there, at whatever she could find, in an effort to get enough money to pay the rent and provide food for herself and her little daughter. The Christmas season came. A small tree was purchased from meager savings. Concerning that season of merriment for others, she wrote, "There would be no Christmas for me, I knew. There would be nothing, no gifts, no remembrance whatsoever. As I struggled through the snowdrift to my apartment on Christmas Eve, I reached the lowest point in my life. Unless a miracle happened, I would be homeless in January, foodless, jobless. I had prayed steadily for weeks, and there had been no answer. But this coldness and darkness, this harsh air, this abandonment, I felt as old as death and as lonely. What was to become of us?" Reaching her apartment, she took the mail from her box. It contained only bills and two white envelopes, which she thought contained more bills. She continued her story. "I went up three dusty flights of stairs, and I cried, shivering in my thin coat. But I made myself smile so I could greet my little daughter with a pretense of happiness. She opened the door for me and threw herself into my arms, screaming joyously and demanding that we decorate the tree immediately. They would have a little hamburger for their Christmas dinner on the morrow. Then the doorbell rang. A delivery man was there with big parcels. The young mother protested that they could not be for them. The man read the label again and said this was the correct address. When he left, the two sat on the floor and opened the packages. There was a doll, candy, a leather purse, and other beautiful things. They could not believe it. They looked for the name of the sender. It was the teacher to whom she had taken the umbrella months before. However, she had moved to California and had written only the name of the state as her present address. Of that evening, Miss Caldwell wrote, "Our dinner that night was the most delicious I had ever eaten. I could only pray, 'Thank you, Father.' I forgot I had no money for the rent and only $15 in my purse and no job. My child and I ate and laughed together in happiness. Then we decorated the little tree and marveled at it. She then had the courage to open the bills that had come in the mail. One by one, they reminded her of her desperate predicament. Finally, she opened the two white envelopes. In one was a check for $30 as a Christmas bonus from an employer for whom she had worked for a short time during the summer. It was exactly enough to pay her next month's rent. The other envelope contained an employment offer. It was impossible to believe, but it was there before her. Church bells rang in her neighborhood to invite people to Christmas Eve services. Someone began to sing, 'O Come All Ye Faithful.' A thought passed through her mind. I am not alone at all. I was never alone. She concluded her story with these words. That, of course, is the message of Christmas. We are never alone. Not when the night is darkest, or the wind coldest, or the world seemingly most indifferent. Such is the story of something that happened to a young mother and her daughter a long time ago. There are opportunities for the recreation of thousands of such stories today. The homeless now number in the millions. It is a terrible thing for a father to be out of work and unable to provide for the needs of his family. It is a terrible thing for a mother with children to be without a home. In the spirit of Christmas, in the spirit of Him who said, 'Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me,' let us resolve to do a little more, to open our purses along with our hearts to help those in need, to reach out to the lonely and distressed, to comfort those who walk in sorrow, to lift the burdens of those who stagger under the weight of overpowering obstacles, to reach out to those who have strayed and who live in misery and regret, having spent their birthright in many cases and even their lives on the dross of the world."
As the benefactor in this story, we too can be the instrument in the Lord's hands this Christmas to help others know they are not alone. President James E. Faust told a story in the 1983 Christmas devotional about a Christmas he has never forgotten because it was centered on what matters most.
"When I was a young boy, our family was terribly poor. My father had no job because he was going through law school at the University of Utah. He had a wife and three young sons. Grandfather and grandmother knew that we would have no Christmas if we didn't come down to the farm in Millard County. So all of our family took the train from Salt Lake to Leamington, Utah. Where the money came for the tickets, I will never know. Grandfather and Uncle Esdras met us at the railroad crossing in Leamington with a team of big horses to pull the open sleigh through the deep snow to Oak City. It was so cold that the huge horses had icy chin whiskers and you could see their breath. I remember how old Jack Frost dipped my nose, and the extreme cold made it hard to breathe. Grandmother had heated some rocks and put them in the bottom of the sleigh to help us keep warm. We were wrapped and tucked into some heavy camp quilts with just our noses sticking out. Accompanied by the tinkle of bells on leather straps on the harnesses of the horses, we musically traveled from Leamington over the 10 miles to Oak City, where our beloved grandfather and grandmother lived. So many dear ones were there that we could hardly wait to arrive. When we got there, it was warm and wonderful and exciting. In the corner of the living room was the Christmas tree, a cedar tree cut from the hillside pasture. It was already partially decorated by Mother Nature with little red berries, which helped give it a strong smell. Our decorations were popcorn strings made by threading popcorn through a needle and thread, which had to be handled carefully or they'd break and strew popcorn all over the floor. We also had paper chains to put on the tree made by cutting up old Sears and Montgomery Ward catalogs with the paper links pasted together with flower paste. The sticky flower paste got all over our hands and faces and clothes. I wonder why they didn't put sugar in it. With cream, it could also have been served for mush. I do not remember any presents under the tree. Under the tree were popcorn balls made with strong homemade molasses. When we bit into the popcorn balls, it felt like they were biting back. On Christmas Eve, we all gathered around the wood stove, enjoying the warm comfort of the fire and the pleasant aroma of the burning cedar wood. One of the uncles gave an opening prayer. We sang carols and hymns. One of our aunts read of the birth of Jesus and of the good tidings of great joy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Grandfather and grandmother told us how much they loved us. The next day was Christmas, and we had a glorious dinner. But before we ate, we all got down on our knees for family prayer. I was so hungry. Grandfather prayed for the longest time. You see, he had much to pray for. He prayed for moisture because there was a drought in the land, and the crops had been meager. The fall grain had been planted in the dusty ground. What harvest there was could not be sold because of the low price caused by the Great Depression. The taxes on the farm were delinquent because there was no money to pay them. He also prayed for our large family, his cattle, horses, pigs, chickens, turkeys. He prayed over everything. During grandfather's long prayer, my youngest uncle became restless and gave me an irreverent pinch, hoping that I would shout and make things more exciting. For dinner, we had a huge tom turkey stuffed with delicious dressing. There was no celery in the dressing because we had only the ingredients that could be produced on the farm. But the dressing had plenty of bread, sage, sausage, and onions, and there was an abundance of potatoes and gravy and pickles, beets, beans, and corn. Because grandfather could trade wheat to the miller for flour, there was always fresh baked bread. To stretch the food, we were encouraged to take one bite of bread for every bite of other kinds of food. We had choke cherry jelly and ground cherry jam. For dessert, we had pumpkin pie and gooseberry pie. It was all delicious. As I look back on that special Christmas over a lifetime, the most memorable part was that we did not think about presents. There may have been some handmade mittens or a scarf given, but I do not recall any presents. Presents are wonderful, but I found that they are not essential to our happiness. I could not have been happier. There were no presents that could be held and fondled and played with, but there were many wonderful gifts that could not be seen, but could be felt. There was the gift of boundless love. We knew God loved us. We all loved each other. We did not miss the presents because we had all these glorious gifts. It made me feel so wonderful and secure to belong and be part of all that went on. We wanted nothing else. We did not miss the presents at all. I never remember a happier Christmas in my childhood.
The true meaning of Christmas can be felt in our hearts as we allow it to be the center of our thoughts this season. Lasting memories and motivation to serve others will fill our lives. This has been Stories from the First Presidency Christmas Devotionals, Gift Package 17. We hope these stories have helped bring the true spirit of Christmas into each of your lives. You can learn more about the Mormon Channel and check other programming at radio.lds.org. And then tell your friends. Thank you for joining us, and Merry Christmas from the Mormon Channel.